AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Go loud.
Every time Dublin won an All-Ireland, someone would say, there's your fridge.
To his right, screen left, was the most perfect wanker gesture.
With the woman, it's more internal.
Yeah, thanks very much. It's more than I learned in fifth year.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Christmas episode of A Few Scoops. We are going through the best stories of this year, the story that gave us the most hope, the one that made us laugh the most. And we would like to hear what you think was the best story of this year. So, to kick us off, the story that made you laugh the most, I personally, it's not even just the story, it's this one specific line of the story. When I bring you back to November, the presidential election, Fianna Fáil have made an absolute tit of it. They have chosen a man who was not a member. They have chosen well-respected Dublin GAA manager, Jim Gavin. It appears that Jim Gavin was a landlord, not a great thing to be in Ireland at this point. Not only was he a landlord, but during the crash, he got himself into a bit of fiduciary trouble and he owed his tenant over 3,000 euro when he had just had a baby. My favourite part of this story was that Niall Donald, the journalist who had been Jim Gavin's tenant and was owed over 3,000 euro, said that every time Jim Gavin appeared on the TV, Niall Donald's mates pointed at him and said, there's your mate, Jim Gavin.
Yeah.
That is the most perfectly Irish thing I have ever heard. It is a pop culture reference for the ages. There is nothing more Irish than you having a beef with a person, whether it be work or personal or whatever it is. And your mate seeing that person and saying, there's your mate.
There's your mate. Perfect. Yeah.
It appeared now that Fianna Fáil was aware about the tenant issue, but they did not think it was that much of an issue. They ran Jim Gavin anyway, and he dropped out of the race, costing Fianna Fáil about 400,000 euro and a lot of headache for Micheál Martin. But truly, a fantastic political calamity that we just don't see anymore.
No, and you just imagine the build-up of theirs, your mates, kind of, you know, when he was in the Air Corps, not too much about it, but then starts to win All-Ireland title after All-Ireland title and appears the epitome of excellence.
Niall Donald's quote is actually, every time Dublin won an All-Ireland, someone would say, there's your friend, Oh dear. It had the Celtic Tiger, it had the GAA, it had the housing crisis, it had Fianna Fáil, and it had the presidential campaign.
And timing. And speaking of timing, that's why I pick. Look, it's recency bias because it happened in November as well, too. But my single, like, funniest thing that I saw that lots of people saw was when Ireland were playing Portugal and Ronaldo was being sent off.
Oh, gorgeous.
And he did the
crying face.
And then that perfect timing where it cut to the crowd and there was two moments of exquisite slagging timing. One guy also doing the crying face perfectly. Like, I'm not doing it right now.
Yeah,
and I'm not able to do it. Like, I haven't done it properly. But he did it perfectly. But also, to his right, screen left, was the most perfect wanker gesture. Just, and I feel it's a part of a personal.
Was that what just when Ronaldo was getting sent off?
Yes, it was all part of the same, you know, the modern Renaissance paintings meme where you take a shot of like
a drunken night out. There's the drunken night out in Manchester.
Yeah.
Was one.
Yeah. And it looks like a Caravaggio or a Pieta or something like that. Whereas this was a similar tableau, except Ronaldo and them weren't in the same shot. But just that beautiful, and as I say, it is a bugbear of mine that we have lost the power of the wanker gesture. You know, it used to be a more powerful thing.
We don't do much physical comedy now.
No, and this was just, you know, it's great to see the old skills being kept alive.
Especially by the youth.
Yeah, watching two young men making like slagging offensive gestures that are pure. Do you know what I mean? It's like watching them whittle or play vinyl.
Or in a loom.
Exactly, yeah. Fixing a wheel.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're right. It's the Cristiano Ronaldo, the credibly accused rapist and very unsportsmanlike footballer.
Yeah.
Doing the whinging sign at the Irish fans.
Yeah.
And then almost immediately being sent off for being a total prick. And then the crowd just then doing the whinging sign back at him.
The monumental gap between this billionaire friend of Saudi prince, untouchable, unimpeachable, one of the most powerful people in the world, and one referee looking at a TV screen and two young lads in their late teens, early 20s with
probably from like Calvin.
Hard to say. I mean, the timing would suggest good sense of humour and quick. So I always think urban humour is faster than rural humour.
Even though I'm from the country. We're going to get complaints about that.
Yeah. But no, I just think that you get faster slaggings in the city.
Mm.
You just less. There's more people around, less time to operate. You need to be quicker.
That's talk slower.
Yeah. So, it was just lovely. And single-handedly rehabilitating the wanker gesture.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring it back, folks. Maybe not like at mass, but.
There's no female wanker gesture, is there really, that would make any kind of sense?
Very vulgar, wouldn't it?
Very vulgar. A funny one of that.
I was about to try it and then I was like, no. Yeah.
Miriam Margulies, when I was interviewing her, she made the sign language person do all the rudest words possible to sign them all.
Because there isn't even a specific female gendered word for wanking for a woman.
Yeah.
See, when people say wanking, you do generally think of men.
Yeah, it's more of a big gesture.
Yeah, yeah. There's no like gender specific word for wanking for woman.
Yeah.
Because you could have like pulling your bar. No, we're on a different thing.
Yeah.
But like you could have...
Happy Christmas to all the family, by the way.
But like pulling your bar is very specific to men.
Yeah.
But there's no word like...
And...
There's no action or anything like that for a woman.
And we have the advantage of being able to do dickhead as well too, which is, you know, again,
it's
can be done.
It's because the appendage is going out off
the
body, whereas with the woman, it's more internal.
Yeah. Thanks very much. It's more than I learned in fifth year.
So this one was, what was one story that made you a little bit hopeful? Do you want to go first?
I have a really boring one. But it's long term. So the weirdly boring procedural one was when the HSE agreed with the doctors to work weekends.
Right.
And go 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Like that won't take effect immediately and it'll affect some people's work-life balance. But hopefully, you know, months, years down the line,
because
all of these hospitals, all these surgeries, these theatres are not being used at the weekends.
Mm.
So hopefully will lead to waiting lists being dealt with. And it's really dull, but it's the kind of stuff, like that's the, we disagree on so much stuff kind of, you know, it could be unions or an organization at loggerheads, but where is the thing that maybe it's fine, we can agree on this? And that was one for me. I thought that was good. And I wonder, can we find something like that in housing, in, you know, immigration and all that, where there's stuff people will fundamentally disagree on? But there must be just logistical pinch points.
This is the ultimate centrist dad advocates for small incremental changes.
Well, it's better than fuck all changes, which is what we've had.
Mine is the court case of Liam O'Hanley from Kneecap. So as most of our listeners will remember, Liam O'Hanley was charged with terrorist offences because he allegedly held up a Hezbollah flag at a gig in Kentish Town. In London, this did not come out or cause any issue until after Coachella, when Kneecap put a lot of very powerful noses out of joint in the music industry. And it was very clear after Coachella that there was a concentrated campaign to target Kneecap because of their political beliefs. Liam Hogue never pled either way. The court case never got to that. But for me, that story made me feel hopeful because not just Kneecap, but people like C-Matt and other young Irish pop stars, rock stars, whatever, are actively taking a stand for what they believe in. They are sacrificing money and tours, and make no doubt about it, Kneecap could not go to America and then were banned from Canada, which we know that musicians don't make a lot of money from Spotify. They make barely any money from Spotify.
And also Lancome, a year and a bit ago, were cancelled in Germany. This is at the early stages in November 2023 for their support for Palestine, and they had a gig in Leipzig cancelled. So that's like real money.
Yeah, and
real consequences.
As we know, you know, artists make very little money from Spotify. They make most of their money now from touring, especially gigs like Kneecap, who have sold out everywhere from, you know, Tennessee to Munich. And the fact that they could not go to America because of Liam Hogue's pending charges and then were banned from Canada had a material effect on their ability to make money. There was a GoFundMe to try and raise funds for Liam Hogue's defence against the court in London. They were monstered by British politicians. They did not get adequate support from the parties in power here. And I think it really showed young people in Ireland that they do have a voice. And even when it's scary, and make no doubt about it, Kneecap were scared, they were intimidated, but they were not, and there's nothing wrong with that. The bravest thing is to be scared and go ahead and do what you were going to do anyway. And they would not be cowed by it. And I think, you know, what Liam Hogue said after court of the days of criminalising young people from the north and from Ireland because of who they are over. And I thought it sent a really hopeful message that Irish people do stand with Palestine and do stand up for what they believe in. And it's just always good to knock the Brits down a peg or two, because their days of telling us what we can and can't do are over.
Very good.
So this category was our overall Irish news story of the year. Now, we know it's been a huge year in foreign policy. We talk about Gaza and Trump and Sudan and Ukraine and everywhere and anywhere on this podcast in order to keep you all informed and entertained. But we wanted to keep this Christmas episode about Irish stories. So this was our overall Irish news story of the year. And mine, I don't think anyone will be surprised, is the Irish presidential election. I feel at a time when Ireland feels very divided and divisive. We are suffering through a catastrophic housing crisis. We have a brain drain of young people leaving this country to go to Lisbon and Canada and Australia. They can't afford to live here. We have teachers leaving posts because they can't afford rent in the cities, and everything seems to be terrible. And it's hard to find community at times when you're really tired after work and you're not making a wage that is in line with inflation. And there's, you know, sometimes you feel like there's an absence of community. And for me, the presidential election really brought back why we all want to be here, what's important to us. And obviously, as I work for Catherine Connolly, it's always nicer when the person that you're working for wins. But I would say the amount of people who volunteered their time and effort to get someone like Catherine Connolly elected with no big party machine behind her, no big donors, just ordinary people donating a fiver, handing out leaflets, designing t-shirts and scarves, holding benefit concerts. There was a real feeling of community, and a lot of it did come from young people, people younger than me. I dealt with a lot of students and school-age children who were volunteering for Catherine Connolly. And I also just think to elect someone like Catherine Connolly at this point in time was very important to the Irish psyche. I think we have been through riots and attacks on small children, attacks on IPAS centres. There has been a lot of very traumatic things that have happened in the last number of years as Ireland gets to grips with a wave of far-right violence across the world. Far-right leaders are being elected in all different countries, and Ireland has managed to show the world that we're not going to do that. I think Catherine Connolly, in her steadfast support of Palestine, really spoke to the Irish people, and even the hiring of someone who had previously been to prison for what a lot of people would state was an abhorrent crime, and Catherine Connolly's ability and willingness to hire that person, give that person a second chance, really embodied, you know, what I think all Irish people think they are, even if they're not. So for me, the presidential election was the story of the year.
And a professional politician doing professional politician things, winning as well too. Not a celebrity candidate, not a parachute, not a, recognisable name.
And from council housing.
From council housing. Yeah, no, it was a good story.
What's your overall story?
Well, I mean, I couldn't have the presidency one because you took it. And because I was working on both the Gavin and Humphreys campaigns.
The Ivan Yates of a few scripts here.
Yeah, I did. My favourite thing about it was that every week she would turn up doing like good at football or good at Irish dancing. And it was basically like if Catherine Connolly went along to like an auto shop, a mechanics or whatever, you're welding.
She'd be changing tires.
Yeah, just expert at
steel fixing.
It did
get to a point there where we was like, is there nothing this woman can do?
Yeah, it was just a bit. I think because what happened was the football and then the set dancing happened 2 days afterwards.
Her dad was a dancer.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, she's good at all these things, but it was.
She ran like 10 marathons.
Yeah. That they didn't do the running thing because it wouldn't work well in a clip.
No.
Because she would need to be sprinting. But I know, in fairness, proper candidate, proper politician, proper election campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Well done to you and all the lads. What was your bit? What was the bit you're most proud of? What did you, what was the secret?
It was nothing I'd done, but the thing I was most proud of was, I can probably talk about this now actually, but the morning I woke up and I found out that the lady that she had hired had been to prison, I thought I was going to faint. Yeah. And then when I spoke to Catherine and Catherine went on Claire Byrne and that interview she gave to Claire Byrne about why she hired this person and why it was important to hire this person, that made me really feel like I have done the right thing by backing this woman.
She didn't throw anyone under a bus.
No, and she never has, to be fair.
Yeah, very good. Okay, my one, it's completely different, but Storm A1, just because of the sheer size of it. So it was a record.
Which one was this? When was this?
This was the one at the 24th of January, 25th of January. So it was a record-breaking storm. First of all, record-breaking number of mispronunciations of the name, I would imagine.
It's Welsh, isn't it?
It's Welsh, yeah. So it's not Owen or Iain. I think it's Éowyn.
Éowyn.
And it was a fictional character in J.R.R. Tolkien's novel, The Lord of the Rings. So we need to get back to naming things after confirmation names. Storm Bram last week was Bram Stoker. What happened to naming things after popular names? You know, we need to get back to naming Storm Kylie. And
Nigel Farage over here.
So it was record breaking here. Broken 80-year-old record for the country.
You could say broken like an 80-year-old woman's house.
Knocked over some things. Yeah, it was as I say, it broke record. There was a huge number of people without power. I think at some point there were 800,000 houses, farms and businesses on the island of Ireland suffering power outages, and that kept going for a long time. Unfortunately,
I do remember this. I was at the BBC.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where and were you reporting on it?
Out and about.
Just telling people not to make any unnecessary journeys.
That sort of thing. Yeah.
And we were getting photos of fallen trees on our farm, and you're like, why is it going? Oh, how do I fix that? And we have a dog. Dog since died, but not due to the storm. who lived on the farm, and you're kind of worried about the dog and all that kind of thing. But I thought the good bit of it was the way people came together at citizen hubs for people who could charge. People opening up their businesses, and you know, kind
tea
of
tea and sandwiches and that.
Tea and sandwiches, and it also. The big thing was water. People finally realised that electricity and water actually are linked.
Mm.
Because, so people were out of water for ages because the pumps that pumped the water were out of action. Mm. And so generators had to be brought in. And as a general rule, I think it probably was, it reminded us that we're not really ready for this kind of stuff.
No.
We need to get more ready for bigger storms. Nobody wants them to happen so that we'll be all ready for them. But I think it was that reminder, I think, of the little bit of fragility when you're the exposed island on the West Coast.
Mm.
But then that community comes around together. So, yeah, a big story, other end of the year, but we're coming up to that end of the year again. So
mm-hmm.
keep that community going.
Yeah, as I always say, community is the only thing that's going to save us all. That is us for this bumper episode of A Few Scoops, our Christmas special. Listening to this now, I will probably be in Derry and you will be away in España.
I will be at an unspecified date, burglars. Not in my house, but by the time you hear this, I'll be back. So stay the fuck away from it, you pricks. Sorry, that's not a happy Christmas message. Burglars, happy Christmas to everyone, including burglars.
Yeah, take a day off. Anyway, thank you so much for your support all year for A Few Scoops. This was definitely, most people don't actually know that me and Colm didn't know each other before we did this podcast, but it has been a real labour of love and we love doing it. And we couldn't do it without all our listeners. Please like and subscribe and comment.
And let us know of things you want us to cover. As we always say, that bit where somebody, because you can Google and Google and Google and look at what the news is, but that's somebody else's, somebody else kind of dictating how, what you see and when you see it. But people from their own life will say, have you thought about this story or that story, this undercovered or not as much as it should be covered topic? Let us know. And we love that kind of serendipity and find out more about things we didn't know.
We'll be back on the 7th of January for our 2026 start of A Few Scoops. Thank you.